This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning into Film Bookcast for the first time, first of all, welcome. And what I do on this podcast is discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Now let's check out some film trailers. Coming out next month in theaters is a film called The Virtuoso. It stars Anthony Hopkins. It's a very intriguing role for him and David Morse. It's about a lonesome stranger, secure nerves of steel, who must track down and kill a rogue hitman to satisfy an outstanding debt. But the only information he's been given is a time and location where to find his quarry, a 5 p.m. rustic diner in a dying town. No name, no description, nothing. When the assassin arrives with several possible targets, including the county sheriff, endangering his life, the assassin embarks on a manhunt to find the hitman and accomplish his mission. But the danger escalates when the erotic encounters with a local woman threaten to derail his task. Check out the Virtuoso trailer. It's a super cool looking movie. Next in film trailers is a film called Spiral. Chris Rock stars and executive produces in a new chapter in the Saw saga. Based on the book Spiral from the Book of Saw comes Spiral, premiering May 21st in theaters. Check out the trailer now. It looks very cool. Rounding out the week in film trailers is Space Jam, A New Legacy, coming out July 18th in theaters and on HBO Max. It stars LeBron James, Don Cheadle, among many others. It's about an NBA superstar, LeBron James, who teams up with Bugs Bunny and the rest of the Looney Tunes for this long-awaited sequel. Check out the trailer for Space Jam, A New Legacy. Rounding out the week in film trailers is Saban Films brings us a Christopher Walken delight. He plays a real-life farmer who fought Monsanto to maintain the freedoms of farming. Will David or Goliath win? Check out the Percy vs. Goliath trailer now. Now let's switch gears and head over to TV trailer. HBO gave us the Nevers trailer. It's about touched people who see glimpses of the future. It's set in the 1800s in London, and the series looks very fun and intriguing, and I think it's going to be very popular. Check out the Nevers trailer. It's on HBO. In more TV trailers, Netflix has finally released the full trailer for its long-awaited fantasy series based on Leigh Bardugh's best-selling Grishaverse novels. The latest clip introduces us to Alina Starkov, played by Jessie Mee Lee, the Summoner of the Sun. With her extraordinary powers, we see her destroying dragons, fighting monstrous creatures, and joining an elite army of magical soldiers known as Grisha. The stage is set for some blood-thumping action. Check out the Shadow and Bones trailer. It debuts on Netflix. Let's head on over to some TV news. In some quick TV news, the Friends reunion is set to film next week for HBO Max. I'm not sure when it's debuting, but it's exciting news to know that the Friends reunion is going to shoot next week. TBS's Wipeout reboot launches as 2021's highest-rated new unscripted cable series. Thursday's 9 p.m. premiere drew 942,000 total viewers, making it the number one show in the unscripted offering on cable television. Wipeout used to air on ABC, and the series finale, the original series finale, was in 2014. We are extremely proud of our growing slate of unscripted can't-miss television, TBS's CEO said. Wipeout is exactly the show we all need right now. The new Wipeout will get 20 hours as a freshman show and will feature a new format twist and elements that will push the athleticism and willpower of each contestant pairing to even greater extremes, all while delivering more than a few epic fails, according to TBS's logline. Exciting news for TBS and Wipeout. Law & Order duo topped Thursday ratings with Elliot Stabler's return. The return of Christopher Maloney's Elliot Stabler and Law & Order franchise boosted NBC on Thursday with a double shot of Law & Order SVU crossover in the series premiere of his Law & Order Organized Crime, finishing as the primetime's top shows in the adults 18 to 49 demographic. The anticipated crossover episode of SVU, which reunited Melanie and Mariska, who starred together on the show for its first 10 seasons, delivered the long-running series' largest live and studio audience in 4.5 years. Exciting news for Law & Order fans. Let's jump into some film news. Warner Brothers just announced the release date for the DC Comics supervillain film Black Adam. The theatrical release date for Black Adam is now July 29th, 2022. DC Comics has also released this logline for the film. The hierarchy of power in the DC universe is about to change. Black Adam stars Dwayne Johnson, among many others. Directed by Kwame Kale Serra, the film will be produced by Johnson and Film Pictures company Boo Flynn, along with Danny Garcia and Hiram Garcia of Seven Buck Productions. Scott Sheldon will be overseeing the project for Flynn Picture Co. Roy Haynes, Sohrab Noshiravni, and Adam Skryskill wrote the screenplay for Black Adam. Here's what Dwayne Johnson had to say about the backstory of the plot at Black Adam at the 2020 DC fandom. 5,000 years ago, Wakanda was a melting pot of cultures, wealth, and power and magic, but most of us had nothing, except for the chains around our necks. Wakanda needed a hero. Instead, they got me. I did what needed to be done, and they imprisoned me for it. Now, 5,000 years later, I am free, and I get to give my word, no matter who will stop me again. It's very exciting movie news from DC. In more film news, the last week of March at the box office saw the U.S. film market slowly crawl out of the dark. Nobody premiered at the number one spot in the United States with just under $7 million. Raya and the Last Dragon was second at the box office with about half that. Tom and Jerry was third, close behind. Good, exciting news for the American film market. Curious to see what this week's numbers have been. In more film news, across the country, theaters and movie theaters are slowly reopening with reduced capacity. Live theater shows just resumed in New York City this week, as Jerry Seinfeld was the first comic on stage to reopen comedy shows in the city. California is also resuming in-person theater shows as well as movie theaters at reduced capacity. Very exciting film news and theater news. I think it's time for this week's movie review. What do you think? Let's head over to this week's movie review. We're going to talk about Godzilla vs. Kong. It just came out in theaters. It's also on HBO Max. It's directed by Adam Wingard. It's based on Godzilla by Toho and King Kong by Edgar Wallace. It came out March 31st. It stars Millie Bobby Brown as Madison, Alexander Skarsgård as Dr. Lind, Julian Dennison as Josh, Rebecca Hall as Leanne, Eliza Gonzalez as Maya, Kyle Chandler as Mark, and Brian Tyree Henry as Bernie. Godzilla vs. Kong is about Kong and his protectors undertaking a perilous journey to find his true home. Along for the ride is Gia, an orphan girl who has a unique and powerful bond with the mighty beast. However, they soon find themselves in the path of an enraged Godzilla as he cuts a swath of destruction across the globe. The initial confrontation between the two titans, instigated by unseen forces, is only the beginning of the mystery that lies deep within the core of the planet. From the very opening frames of Godzilla vs. Kong, you're hit with an adrenaline rush, because this is an epic showdown. And honestly, for a film nerd like me, and for an American, this is just what I need. Alexander Skarsgård stars as Dr. Nathan Lind. He plays opposite of this mad scientist who is on a mad dash to extract the same power that Godzilla has and Kong's weapon has. So the government is protecting Kong, and Godzilla comes. Bernie, the character Bernie, works for Apex, and he's played by Brian Tyree Henry, and he does a tremendous job being our eyes and ears in the inside of this corporate monster-duplicating company. So we go on we get dropped in. The first encounter between Godzilla and Kong come in Godzilla's territory, in water. And I'm not going to spoil anything. You'll get to see what happens when they first meet up in water. But we get introduced to this little girl named Gia. And she's very timid and she's very special because she has a unique bond with Kong. Kong trusts Gia. He communicates with her. And the government officials never knew this before. Gia is now looked at as someone, rightfully so, who is special, and who Kong treats very differently than everyone else. We get introduced to Dr. Lind when we learn about this theory that the Earth is hollow, and that somehow there's a whole new world within the center of our Earth, which also encompasses a certain type of power that we as humans don't have, So we want to infiltrate this quote-unquote hollow earth to gather information. The process of getting Kong to this quote-unquote hollow earth is a very delicate dance between us and Kong, because Kong doesn't trust us as humans, rightfully so. He only trusts Gia. So you'll get to see how Gia is used in this attempt to get Kong to go where we want him to go, to lead us into a place that we've never been as humans. A new world is in this cave-like entry, because it's a partial entry into this quote-unquote hollow earth, right? And when we enter in this space, you'll see what happens, but it's almost like Kong's natural habitat. Once Kong is in this environment, he's very comfortable, and he finds his, what I'm assuming to be his family staff, or his weapon from his family history. He's very at home in this environment, and we also get introduced to other creatures in this environment as well. It's a cool movie for an American who's been in the middle of so much darkness the past year. This movie gave me, it's great fun. So when we're in Kong's new habitat, we get to see Kong in a very different state. And we also get introduced to Mechagodzilla, which I never knew of before. I had to do research on what Mechagodzilla was, because I didn't know, I thought it was Megagodzilla, but it's Mechagodzilla. Please research what Mechagodzilla is, because we also get introduced to him. He is a creature being created and exploited by this company. It was an unexpected treat, because I had no idea we would get introduced to Mechagodzilla. It's not just Kong versus Godzilla. It's actually Kong versus Godzilla, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, Kong versus Mechagodzilla, Kong versus Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. It's amazing. It's tremendous. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to tell you that. What I loved about the movie, I really loved how Adam Wingard gave us, I think, the most satisfying window into Kong's humanity. Kong's relationship to Gia is very special, and I love the time that they spent telling the story of Kong's humanity, because I think Kong possesses much more humanity than Godzilla possesses. I tend to root for Kong more, even though I like Godzilla more. But I really think it's an important part of the movie, is to see Kong's emotions, to see that he has to trust too, right? We as humans struggle with trust always, and Kong really struggles with trust, and he only trusts this little girl, Gia. And I just think it's a beautiful compliment to the whole story. It really helps the story flow in a great way. First scene that Godzilla is shown on land is epic. It's an epic scene. Wait till you see it. And actually, Godzilla extracts Kong from his home. You'll get to see that. And in their first battle on land, Kong bests Godzilla. So Godzilla bested Kong, and then Kong bested. It's a tremendous match of monsters. There's this great frame in the middle of the big battle that Kong and Godzilla come face to face, and they kind of scream at each other's face, and it's almost like they both recognize to each other and to themselves that they both met their match. And there's mutual respect between the two monsters, even as they're trying to kill one another. You can tell. Only until Godzilla is really threatened by Mechagodzilla do we see Kong's real relation to Godzilla and Godzilla's real relation to Kong. It's beautiful. The way the movie is structured and told, and the different elements that come together in this movie, is tremendous. And the film's already made $30 million in 3 days, right as we're starting to be together again. So people want to see this movie, and it's a tremendous movie. I would give it an 8 out of 10. Adam Wingard did a tremendous job telling a unique but grounded in the story's story. The addition of Mechagodzilla was a great compliment, and it made the film just deeper and mean more. I want to take a minute to talk about Julian Dennison, who plays Josh Valentine. He is a nerd kid who loves, I mean, not even a nerd kid, just a kid who loves what he loves, breaks into computer networks to pirate movies, and he's just a tremendous character. Josh is a tremendous character, and I just want to shout out Julian Dennison for doing a tremendous job in his capacity, because he really added something to the movie that if he wasn't there, the movie would not be as good. So Julian Dennison, tremendous, tremendous job. Everyone did a tremendous job. But Brian Tyree Henry, everything I see this dude in is tremendous. He's like the most versatile and lively actor I've seen with my eyes over the past few years. He's just tremendous. Bernie's a great character. Kyle Chandler obviously does a great job playing Mark. Rebecca Hall is Rebecca Hall. She's amazing. And Millie Bobby Brown, you want to hate her character, Madison, but she does a tremendous job telling the story. So everyone did a tremendous job on the cast. Adam Wingard, a tremendous job with can you imagine the job of having to take on telling these two super monsters? I mean, just a tremendous job. Go check it out. Godzilla vs. Kong. It's in theaters. It's about 2 hours on the dot. It's a great 2 hours in a time that we have just gone through. What better way to be around other people and to connect with others? Because that's why superheroes and monsters and comics exist, is to get us out of ourselves and thinking about something bigger than us so we can be together again, right? I mean, if we can't enjoy monsters, what does that say about us? And this movie is nothing but fun and enjoyment. And there's a story in there. There's a story about mutual respect and love and ego. If we can put down our swords, if Godzilla and Kong can put down their swords and respect one another and love each other in a certain way, then so can't we as Americans. And I hope that you guys love the movie as much as I did. Have fun if you go back to the theater to watch it, or if you feel better staying home. It's on HBO Max, so you can stay safe. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for checking us out this week. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at CBanksy. I'm also on Instagram. I'm at TheChrisBanks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please consider rating and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comments section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.